DLX Mobile.
DLX and 0GR. Good evening, Mike.
Hello, Tom. And 0TR and 6CLX.
Good day today. We had a nice one, even though the weather's been kind of raw out there.
Had to work. Worked. Now I'm going home. I even got in a walk around the block, but I only took one lap. It was windy and a little cool.
It's 41 out there now, but the humidity's 92%. I think that makes it a little more bitter. It says the wind's out of the southeast at 1, peaking at 7. There's no wind chill right now, but I noticed it when I was out there with the chickens feeding them earlier. It just kind of makes it that much more raw.
Chickens aren't producing any eggs right now.
We got 3 today, and then we'll probably get 2 tomorrow, and that's out of the 6 older ones. The 8 new ones aren't old enough till probably June. They're called a speckled Sussex. They're starting to look pretty now. They're getting feathered out good. They're about 9 or 10 weeks old.
Some of those. She raises chickens, and she's got all kinds of chickens. She's got geese, ducks. She loves her fowl.
Well, Bernice wanted these, the wife, and so all she had to do is mention it to Amy, her daughter, down in the south part of Greer, and Amy and Scott, my son-in-law, they built the first pen right there, and then a neighbor, who's a friend of ours too, was gracious enough to load his trailer up and haul it up here. And then we bought a dog run, I don't know, it's 10 foot long, 6 foot wide, I'm not sure, something like that. And then we built a house on that side of it, and so we actually have 2 segregated pens there now, because the older ones, they'd probably kill the younger ones. And when I tried to integrate 2 sets of older ones, they fought like fighting chickens do. So I couldn't have that. So I put colored tie wraps on their legs and then separated them so I'd know which ones were which. But you're right. In the fall, when they go to molting, they stop laying because all the protein goes to making feathers. And then they didn't start laying again until probably January, late January. So we're thankful to get them. They're big brown eggs, and we really like them. I can't tell you what variety they are anymore. I think one variety was Welsomers, if that means anything.
Fresh eggs are something special to have.
Just make about cover about a third of a dinner plate. They are good. Our neighbors, we always shared with them, and then they supply shut down where we just don't have them. And she said his wife now makes him buy large brown eggs, and that's all she'll eat. she doesn't want any more of those regular eggs.
Hannah, the daughter, did a lot of studying on this. She said that the ones you buy in the store, even though they're dated, that just means they send them back to some plant. They go through them, light them, test them somehow, and then redate them and put them back out. She said some of those eggs are 6 months or more old. Some of them are 9, she said.
I find that hard to believe. I think that's a little bit of some of these stories you hear going around. Because the FDA would nail them for that, I would think. They candle them, and they have inspectors and that. I can't see how they'd last that long, not even refrigerated. But I could be just as wrong on that, Mike, as she is right.
She claims that you can, if you don't refrigerate them, don't clean them, they'll store for, I think she said 3 to 6 months, something like that.
I'm going to try that. you're not really even supposed to wash them, but immediately when we bring them in, we wash them off and then put them in the refrigerator. But I know over in Germany, when we was over there, they don't. They just leave them room temperature.
You know, we love our eggs, but we don't eat them fast enough. It's just me and the wife, and she's got allergies, so when their allergies are kicking, we're not eating eggs. And even though we love them dearly, so it's not an unusual thing for me to be eating an egg that's been sitting in the refrigerator a month past its date, and they're fine.
Pudding, I guess. Well, I usually have one egg, two pieces of bacon, or else one sausage patty, and two pieces of toast with some Greek jelly on it. Once in a while, a glass of orange juice, but not every day, and a cup of coffee. And that's pretty routine. Sometimes I'll ask for scrambled, and then she'll throw in biscuits and gravy now and then, and an egg, and oh, that's good. But we generally eat one egg each every day.
For that, I saw a little video on something last night. I don't know. I was looking at the phone, and a friend texted me something. I clicked on it and took me to the TikTok thing. I've never seen that before. They had an interesting one. The guy was showing how to make an egg sandwich. Slotted spoon. Crack the egg into the slotted spoon. Let the white drain through. Cook the white. Put the eggs in the... Cook the white until it's browning. Flip it. Then put the yolks in. Let the yolks cook up some. Flip it all over to make a... flip the corners over to make a pouch. Put on some toast. Toast on both sides and you have an egg sandwich.
TR within 6 Charlie Lima X-ray. Well, Mike, that sounds different. Never heard of that. I wish Bernice was out here. She could have listened to you. She loves to bake, and the neighbors love her for that, too. But when asked, whenever I cook dinner, I always say, well, I have one specialty. That's beanie weenies and Gatorade. Other than that, I've never cooked very much in my lifetime. I've been blessed. Bernice loves to. But I can cook a mean egg sandwich. I drop it in some hot grease, and I bust that yolk up, and I turn her over. I don't want any gooey stuff at all. I want it a hard egg, in other words. Slap her on in between two pieces of bread and put some ketchup on it, and there you have it.
For the ID. Being an old Navy man, you probably like salt in that coffee, too.
I never drank coffee till I was 40 years old, and now I use it for my main drug. The caffeine, it keeps me going. I'll drink one cup of coffee when I get up after a brush of teeth, and one cup of coffee at breakfast, and usually another one during the day, but not a tremendous amount. I think I might have had an extra one today, I'm not sure, because we had one when we got home from Sam's and Costco over at Spartanburg. We had one, and I was eating my cottage cheese and pineapple and stuff. And I just don't care for too much of it, but I used to hate to even smell it when my dad drank coffee like a fiend when I was younger. Of course, he was a railroader, and he was out long hours on the train. He was a fireman and then an engineer later on, and I'm sure that's the way they survived out there for the many hours they spent out on those old coal trains.
You don't hear the term fireman anymore. Well, maybe they still have them. Union might still want them there, but I don't know what they're doing.
I don't have any locomotive firemen anymore. My dad started out shoveling coal on the steam engines in between there and 1950, I don't know, but Mom said he used to come home and he'd walk through the front door and you couldn't tell the difference between him and a black guy, and that he'd just lay down on the floor and go to sleep. That was a rough life. I know if he caught a run to the south, it was 211 miles and they stayed overnight and then come back. If they went north, it'd be about 115 to 25 miles up to Kansas City. And, yeah, he earned his the hard way. And then later on, he was fireman on the first diesel locomotives. And then I remember him doing that test to become an engineer. And believe it or not, it was highly complicated. And it was all handwritten. I was in high school at the time, and I remember seeing him go through that test, and it was pretty tough.
Like the amateur radio license exams back in those days.
That may be. I didn't take mine till 93. I took a commercial license, but by then it wasn't like it replaced the general commercial license replaced the first class FCC license. And from what the guys have told me, I used to know some engineers that had to go to Kansas City three or four times to pass that. And when I took it, it was multiple choice, but there was like 960 questions, and then they took a field of 100 out of that 900 and some. I think there's more like 1,200 now. And I did quite well on that. But at that time, I had a pretty good memory, Mike, so that helped a lot, especially with the math, which I'm not that good at higher math.
Ask you a question. What the heck is going on today? It was slow at work. Phone barely ever rang. Highly unusual. Driving home, there are no 18-wheelers out where there's usually tons. What, did the world shut down or something?
A little paranoid of the ice. Now, also, the 18-wheelers have been inhibited a great deal by the weather just north of us from Tennessee on north, North Carolina on north. I heard some early morning news there yesterday morning said 76% of the United States was covered by snow.
You wouldn't think that would stop a professional driver, but maybe they're not worried. Maybe it's the fools around them they're worried about.
Yeah, I just don't know the answer to that, Mike. And I heard a couple of younger guys here earlier, I can't remember their calls now, coming home from work. When I was working on a little project in the basement there, it's a stair motion light, and they were saying that some guy out there on I-85, a truck driver, had sideswiped an SUV, and the whole side of that SUV was, I guess it was a white vehicle, and it was black, and he said he saw the truck driver get out, and he was in shorts and flip-flops. You know, that shouldn't be allowed. If he'd have an accident or something, he should. I think, for the most part, they should be in coveralls or jeans or something, because you wouldn't stand a chance out there, especially if it was bad weather or the vehicle caught fire or entrapped or anything. That goes to show you they're not truly road scholars.
We had. The lady at work was telling me the other day that it was two nights ago, we had an express pickup. They had to ship some parts out to North Carolina, so they had one of these express vans come pick them up. She was the only one there when the guy came in. I said, is it the Russian guy? Because that's the guy we usually get. She said, no, this guy didn't speak a word of English. It was all Spanish. And he handed her a phone, and it must have been his wife, and the wife was translating between her and the husband. She said it was strange. My question is, how can someone like that have a license to drive?
illegal immigrants licenses, I know, in a lot of states. And I know my wife got backed into by one once, and I think that was, well, anyway, she's been a long time ago up in Kansas, and she was just going down Broadway, and somebody backed out into her. But they were uninsured. They give her the wrong license, and they don't do nothing to them, and they don't make them pay. So down here, I was talking with my Allstate man, and he said, well, I said, if I got enough insurance, he says, well, you need underinsured automobile insurance, not just uninsured automobile insurance. That way, if you get smacked by one of those guys that don't have any insurance, it'll cover the rest of it. So I said, okay, let's go for that, because my luck or my wife's luck might wind up that way. And I know in California they can get a license without, being a resident. So I assume illegal immigrants can do that down here. I don't understand it. I had a CDL license, which I never used but two or three times. Just thought it would be good on a resume. But now when I think of CDLs, I think of the television set, Mike. It's cars, drugs, and lawyers.
Yeah, my brother, obviously I grew up in California with a six call, so I got a couple brothers out there. One of them told me that it's a state law in California. If a cop pulls over a guy and he's illegal. This is the law. He's illegal. He has no license, no insurance. The cop can't do anything to him except hand him a phone so he can get someone to come and drive the car off. They won't even take the car away because, you know, they have to be able to get to their job.
Oh, I believe it. If the DOT or the DMV did anything intelligent, it'd be out of character. However, I'll have to say the DMV down here has been very good with us, and I had to give up my CDL license, but I didn't care, unless I could get a medical thing with it, and I wasn't going to drive anyways, and I'd have never passed the medical, so... that wasn't an issue, but they've been very good here. But California, yeah, I'm glad we got out of there. We left there many, many years ago when I was in the service and drove back to Kansas. And you know what? There's nothing out there that I miss. That goes for Kansas, Mike. We don't want to go back there either. And call N6CLX, N0TR, stand by.
Tom, I had to put some gas in the car and thought I could sneak it, but yeah, you need to punch so many things nowadays to just get gas.
Getting down at Walmart, we generally get our gas at Walmart and Taylor's. It's not only the cheapest, but it's right across from Aldi's where we shop a lot. And you know how you can tap your credit card on some of these readers now? You don't even have to stick it in it or slide it through it. Well, you do that at the gas pump there at Walmart, and I mean, it's instantaneous. It's really a nice feature.
Well, I'm a member of the club, so I got to stick in the club number and the blah, 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 blah. And then you put in your credit card, and then you got to put in your zip, which I understand, but... I gotta answer three questions before it ever starts doing any of that, and then I have to tell it, no, I don't want to wash.
That ad, Mike?
The Spink / Shell N6CLX variety.
Spinks? Boy, they got a pastry down there in the morning that I've only had it once or twice. Once on the way to Landrum, we was going up to that Amish furniture place, and about halfway up there, up Highway 14, there's a Spink station. Oh, that pastry's delicious. But no, you don't have to do any of that there. Now, if I go to Sam's Club, I got to put in a zip code. and it's a Sam's Club MasterCard. And we don't put anything else on it. And if I go to Costco's, it's no problem. You just stick your card in there and go. And they're both about the same price. So if one's busy, I go to the other one. I kind of thought today gas must be going up because you know how people are. To save a couple of cents, they'll drive 10 miles. And the gas pumps at Costco's were just backed up, Mike.
I don't pay attention. I just buy the gas. If I've got to drive around to save a dollar, I'm sorry, I'll run out of gas and end up walking.
If I get down to half a tank and I don't figure I'm going down there to Taylor's or anything, which is, 6-8 miles from us, Wade Hampton's 5 miles, and then it's a couple more on down there, I'll just stop a quick trip and fill it up. I don't let him get below a half a tank. Mike, I got to zip off and run down the hallway here for a minute, so been great talking to you this evening. Enjoyed it. Look forward to seeing you someday when this stupid COVID gets over with. And glad you had a good day and enjoyed the visit tonight. Pleasure's all mine. N6CLX in 0TR73.
Tighten with me. I'm just about home. If I can just get across this road here, N6CLX, I'll be cleared.
Yeah, it says you're 10.5 miles from me on QRZ. You're just to the north of us. A little more closer to Robinson than we are. N0TR clear.